So imagine you're 20 years old and you went to dental assisting school and you think that that's the career path for you, but yet I was fired 3 times in 6 months after graduating. So I had to move back home with my parents. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. And I really thought that I had no value. And it was at this moment that I was going to try everything once and I was going to see where my skill set took me.
Hey there, and welcome back to Daring Dreams, Heart and Strategy in Small Business Marketing. Today, I'm joined by Krista Walsh, the founder of Casey Collects and a self-proclaimed failure. In 2005, Krista launched Casey Collect, making history as the first woman-owned collection agency in Atlantic Canada. Under her leadership, Casey Collect has received numerous accolades, including Business of the Year from her local Chamber of Commerce. And Krista herself has been recognized as one of Atlantic Canada's top emerging leaders, award-winning speaker, and a best-selling author. I'd say not a failure, but let's hear her story. Welcome to the show, Krista.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. And in true Daring Dreams fashion, we're going to start off with the question, tell me about your business, and then I'm going to get into the story. But first, tell people what Casey Collects does.
So Casey Collect helps small to medium-sized businesses with their cash flow and credit management. We know that in today's economy that cash flow is really important to small businesses. So my company goes in and helps strengthen policies in order to extend credit, because credit is a privilege, not a requirement to businesses. So once you ask for credit in any business, you have to pay it back. And what business owners are faced with struggles on how to get that money back or being paid for the service.
So you're not a collection agency, right? Like you don't, do you call people and try to get money from them?
Oh yeah, we chase them down.
But you also do helping businesses to get more credit.
Yeah, so it's strengthening credit policies and it's collecting on old debt.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. I fortunately don't have, I only work on a few clients at once. And so we built such strong relationships, like they would dare not pay me. I've had one in the last 7 years and it wasn't very fun. I'm glad that you are there for the business owners so they don't have to do that themselves. Okay, so tell me, I loved your bio because the first line of your bio was Casey Walsh was a failure. And I was like, I am not going to say that, but I want you to talk about what is the journey that you took from thinking you were a failure to being able to build this business.
So imagine you're 20 years old and you went to dental assisting school. You think that that's the career path for you, but yet I was fired 3 times in 6 months after graduating. So I had to move back home with my parents. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. And I really thought that I had no value. And it was at this moment that I was going to try everything once and I was going to see where my skill set took me.
Because that would be pretty upsetting to not be able to, or to not be given a chance, I guess, a long enough chance in the career field that you'd chosen. So how did you go from there to starting Casey Collects?
So I need to be realistic with the story because I was not a good dental assistant. I'm like, if the dentist was like, pass me the mirror, I was like, how about it's beside your hand, get it yourself. So we need to be realistic about this. This was not my calling in life. I was a leader, not a follower. And I mean, it's really upsetting at the time when you're so young and you get rejected so many times. I went to working for my dad's home heating company. He had just started and he needed a receptionist. And my dad, super nice guy, but he didn't want to collect on old accounts. He didn't want to be making those phone calls. So when I realized that if I didn't make these phone calls for him, that this business could potentially fail and I was going to be a failure all over again, that's what drove me. So I was like, you're going to pay my dad. He's fixing your furnace. And then we looked at policies. Who, if someone calls on the phone, do you automatically go and do service for them? Like we had to vet people and I had a lot of questions and that turned into this crazy skill set that I didn't even know I had. But it was motivated by failure. I did not want to be a failure again.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so how did you start that? Because that's a service-based business. You're in a small community. Were you on PEI at that time as well?
Yeah, I want to say, it was the easiest thing ever. But when you have no business degree, you really have no education or training in the collection business. the government was hesitant in order to give me a license. So they actually rejected my license over an 8-month period 3 times. 3 seems to be the magic number for me. I remember sitting there crying and being like, okay, maybe this is not my calling, but you can either sit there and cry or you can decide to keep fighting for it. And this is what I wanted to do. And so finally I got a license and I was the first owned and operated license in Atlantic Canada for a woman, which I didn't realize the significance of that at the time because you're so young and you're just like, yeah, give me a license. But then you have a license and you have 0 clients. Well, I had 1 client. It was my dad and his business. So it's really hard to get fired from your dad.
How did you go about getting more clients?
Oh, my first desk was like one of those old beat up desks with the metal with the storage compartment for like gum and pencils. And then my chairs were 2 milk crates stacked on top of each other with a pillow on top.
It sounds like my first apartment.
And then the phone line, because I couldn't afford a phone line, I put a select ring on my parents' landline because it was $7, so I could afford $7 a month. And then I simply sat there in silence for a long time because I had no clients. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to make a real run at this business, what do I have to do? And I had this internal belief that asking for help was a sign of weakness. So I was too scared to ask for help. And once I realized that asking for help is actually a sign of leadership and growth, then that is what turned around for me.
How did you get to that? That's like a big shift from this is a sign of weakness to I need, like, how did you, what helped you make that shift? Do you remember?
I think a lot of different support from a lot of different areas. I mean, when you're growing a business, like simply you have 0 money when you're an entrepreneur, like 0. Early on into my career, I was lucky to be part of a mentorship program, and this mentor guided me along the way in so many different areas. So it was very like you need that cheerleader or you need that support, but you need to first be able to say, hey, I'm struggling with this and I need to ask for help.
What steps did you take? Because this is a marketing podcast, so I know one of the main things that people have to do is market and sell their businesses. So what was your kind of strategies back in 2005 for bringing in clients?
Yeah, so I had this red folder and I put information in it, and it was very limited information at the time, like a frequently asked questions page, a contract page, a little bit about me. And I remember I made like 10 of them, and I was going to go around my local town and drive, and I was going to get rid of these 10 folders. And, you know, it's nerve-wracking at the same time. So I would drive in just randomly to businesses, introduce myself and say, hey, this is information. And I remember one customer that I went into, and I was super scared, and I gave him it and he said, I've been waiting for you. Let's sign a contract. And it was that one client. Yay. Like you need one win to make you feel valuable. And
so true. It's so true. I've heard that so many times.
And he signed, and then he like gave me a testimonial to use with other businesses. And then he would say, what businesses do you need? And I would say, well, what about this business? And he said, well, I'll know them. I'll give them a call. So that was also asking for help. I need help. I need business. I'm just starting.
In season one, I interviewed one of my past clients, Jill. And he said, and I loved it. He's you're one handshake away. You're one handshake away from making it. And I think that first client was probably your first handshake into foot in the door into probably a whirlwind of referrals.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that like I remember sitting in my car and I had to build myself up. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go in. I'm going to give them this red folder and I'm going to say this is what I do. And on that, I want to help small businesses. And yeah, out of the 10 ones that I got rid of over the course of that week.
Sometimes you got to do, especially in the service industry, right? B2B, you got to be known. And I think what you did have in your favor was, I can't imagine there was a lot, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but was there a lot of collection agencies at that time?
At that time, and the realization with collection agencies is that it's older white men in the industry that are dominant. And so here was a female coming into here. So one of the first people, and I gave them a red folder and they looked at my bio picture and said, you look like you're 12 years old, we're not gonna do business. And I remember hearing that and how disheartening that was. So now I actually have that contract and it's one of my most lucrative contracts and he no longer works there. So I wasn't gonna be fought down just because that and I hate saying this, but because I was a woman, because I was in a male-dominated industry, because I was young when I started, I was 25. So I didn't want that to make me, and I needed to prove myself, and kind of all those rejections made me fight harder to say, no, I'm going to do this and I'm going to prove you wrong.
Oh, I love that. I don't, you probably haven't heard my story, but I am somebody who really struggled with fear of failure. And so instead of doing what you did and just like allowing myself to fail, I protected myself in this little bubble of safety where I knew I could succeed. And so your journey is much braver than mine was. It took me, oh my gosh, well, 20 years in marketing to actually branch out and do what I wanted to do. So, I mean, great experience for me, obviously, but it is real, this fear of failure. And then the ability to push through, I think, is pretty remarkable, especially in the face of being able to do it. Now, I know when I was forced to push past my fear of failure, it was because I had to. I had to do it, or else we wouldn't be in the house that I'm in now. So what was it the same for you? Was it you felt like you had to do it, or was it something else that was like, I'm just going to keep going? Because a lot of people quit their businesses in the first few years.
I don't think I had other options. Now, I come from a family where my other three siblings have big fancy ass educations, and yet here's Krista with being fired from dental assisting three times, and I didn't want to be known as the failure. So I mean, kind of pressure within was like, okay, I'm going to be better than you guys, and I don't want to be known as like the child that didn't succeed. So that's what I did, and I tell my siblings this. I'm like, you guys have big fancy ass educations, yet who's the one in business? It's me.
So tell me, so how has your business evolved? Because you've been in business a long time. It's been 20 years, right?
Yeah, it's 20 years this year. So I went from one client, my dad, to over 400 today.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy to think back on that small little girl that was like, I can talk to people on the phone. I'm going to collect money. To like, yeah, today. It's crazy. And one of the stories that I like to tell on this is that I was asked to speak on a panel and I didn't want to do it. Like, you have imposter syndrome. You're like, why do they want me? Because I'm a token PEI person, a woman. Like, you go through this noise in your head. And I actually said no to this panel, and they called me back and they said, no, we really want your expertise. So I went to the panel and they had given me the questions in advance, and I started like a robot answering the questions because I knew they were coming, and it was very robotic. And then all of a sudden a man gets up at question time and he says, I have a question for Krista, the collection agent. And I was like, oh God. And he's, well, how did you get into business? I was like, whoa, you want me to talk about myself? I can talk about myself all day. So it evolved from that. And from that experience, I got home and I was going through like the program, and I picked out the most famous people in the program that I hadn't met. I knew they had seen me on stage. So, like, it was John Risley of Clearwater Foods. It was George Cooper of McGinnis Cooper. It was John Bragg of Oxford Foods. And it was Peter Mansbridge. So I went to info at Oxford Foods and said, hi, my name is Krista. I met John Bragg at this conference last week. Would you put me in touch with him? And I did it to all these four prominent men. And two of them got back to me. My phone rings, and I'm on the mail crates, and I'm on the select ring, and I'm trying to be professional, and it comes through, and he says, hi, this is John Bragg, and I'm like, right. I'm like, no, it's not. So he's, I own Eastlink Communications, and I'm like, and I'm Googling this at the same time, and I realize that John Bragg not only owns Oxford Foods, but he owns Eastlink Communications, and then I started to have a heart attack on the phone, and I was like, yes, Mr. Bragg, how can I help? And he goes, I saw your presentation. I'd like to do business with you. And I'm like, seriously, because I took info at Oxford Foods and reached out to him, just cold call, and because I knew he had seen me on stage, I lied and said we met. So he gave me the contract, which is one of my biggest contracts for Eastlink. We are ranked number one in Atlantic Canada right now for collections. And so a year later, I meet him and I tell him this story. He goes, that's my favorite story. And I was like, I lied. I like said that it was a pleasure to meet you. Yeah. He was like, I love it. I love your grit. I love your determination. Here's your contract.
Oh my gosh.
So like the answer is always no if you don't ask.
Yes. That is so true. And even though it is scary sometimes to ask, the worst that can happen is no, right? And really, it's not that bad. Nobody likes a no, but it's not a huge deal. I always say to my clients, like, it's kind of like a numbers game, right? It's if you only ask two people, you don't have a big chance. If you ask 10 people or 100 people, somebody is going to give you a chance, right? So you only had to ask four and you got two of the four. That's amazing. A lot of people get to that phase where they're too small to hire, but it's like that awkward age. It's like the teenage years of a business where they're too small to hire, but they're too big not to. Did you get through that phase or?
So I think the prestige of having employees was in the back of my mind because I was going to be a boss and I was going to do this. So I had four employees at one time. And managing employees is totally different from managing yourself. And then COVID hit. And then, you know, everyone revamps their life. And all of a sudden, in the collection industry, we went, let's say 10 years ago, to making like 100 phone calls a day. Like, we're on the phone. But technology has changed so much that people don't talk on the phone anymore. They email and text message. So technology played a really big part in my company.
And 400 clients?
I downsized because technology plays such a big part, and I invested, let's say, salary wages into software, and it makes my life so much easier. And it's dealing with the right people in business that make your life easier.
Can you explain that?
Sure can. So I align myself with the right accountant, because you know what, I'm not really good at math, so I trust in him that he's going to take care of my business and that aspect of it. I align myself with this incredible software guy. And he had an option, I love this guy, to go to med school or to go to IT school. And who has that option? He picked IT because he thought the hours were going to be better. He is the smartest person I know. And I buy him lunch once a month. And he goes through my software and says, we can do this enhancement, this enhancement, this enhancement. Because he's like, let's not reinvent the wheel. I can help you with this. And I'm like, things I never thought of. So I want to work with people and align myself with them to help me.
Yeah. And that's similar to the approach I'm taking as well, is like find the best extensions of my team, but don't necessarily have to hire them as employees because I could never afford them because their expertise, I can't afford to hire somebody with 30 years of marketing experience to kind of be my counterpart. But if I have overflow, I have some people I can count on. Right. So that's interesting. So what would be your biggest piece of advice for somebody starting out who feels like they have failed at everything else they've tried, but have this idea of a business?
My biggest thing is mentorship, because if I didn't take a chance on mentorship, then I wouldn't be in business. I always had a belief that I wasn't very smart or didn't do well in school, and my mentor helped me realize that the reason I didn't do well wasn't because I wasn't smart, it was because I had a different learning style, and he adapted his learning style to me. So I think mentorship is so helpful to young entrepreneurs or new entrepreneurs, because you also have a cheerleader, someone that believes in you, someone that can take like the tiniest challenges that you have and help you work through them. But at the same time, you can celebrate and then you can cry in front of them. It's so important.
You should always give a hand down to pull somebody up with you, but then raise your hand to be pulled up by someone else, right? So it's that, you know, Canadian style of business where we help each other, right? And it's not always for financial compensation. We do it because we want to help other people to be successful in their own right. And I think that, you know, mentorship is one of those things that I personally did not take advantage of. And it might have been because I've already had 20 years of experience in mentorship at businesses as a marketer. But when I ask this question, you are not the first person to say mentorship. And so I think that, you know, that's sound advice. What about, so you said kind of like technology changed your industry, right? And not technology, but the culture of people don't answer their phones anymore. So what advice would you give to somebody whose business is evolving because society is evolving, and how do you instead of sinking in that point, figure out what to do next?
You definitely have to keep on top of digital stuff. Communication and technology was massive in my business. And again, surround yourself with people that have that expertise in it. I would not be successful in business if I had the same procedures and stuff that I had in the beginning. I might have had the clients, but it's a different way to communicate. It's a different way to do business. And we're always striving to be better to the people that are still hand doing invoices. And I mean, it's really old school, but it's hurting your business.
What would you suggest for small businesses in terms of how to manage their accounts payable, accounts receivable kind of stuff?
The first thing you have to do is have a really strong credit policy, because every time you walk into a business and they're asking for some kind of credit, whether it's, you know, a service or a marketing service, like they're asking for credit. Do you just take on anyone that calls you? Like you're like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Or do you say, okay, here's an application to see if we can work together? And that's a fair assessment from any small business owner to say, actually, I have this form, can you fill it out and we'll see if we're compatible before you jump right in? Because small business owners, especially new business owners, have a greater chance of going out of business because they don't have the conversation and they're so eager for business that they're like, yes, yes, I'll do business with you, but not doing the research behind it to prevent it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say every time you get burned, so the one time that I'm talking about where I had a client not pay me, I changed my policies. I was like, nope, now it's payment up front. There's no more Mrs. Nice Haley, I guess, because yeah, you get burned. But yeah, if I had a policy in place, or if I, you know, followed some kind of, that probably wouldn't have happened either, right? I just set her free. I was like, I didn't chase her, right? Because I knew she couldn't afford it. So I'm like, So I just was out thousands of dollars, which sucked. One final question. Would you do it again? Because I know there's so many ups and downs in businesses. We talked a lot about your ups, but there's a lot of up and down. Would you go this route again?
I would 100% do this again. And when I look back at the challenges, and I don't really like to call them failures, but they have built me to where I wanted to be. It's kind of crazy to think back that it has been 20 years in which I'm aging myself, but it's so rewarding to have a business and work so hard. And I mean, people think, oh, you own this great big company. And I'm like, do you remember the days where I had a grocery shop at my parents? Or when I had the tea bag that I got at my accounting office because I wanted to have tea later, so I took it home in a cup because I had no money. And he would laugh. So, I mean, the frugality builds your character, but at the same time, people don't see what it takes to be an entrepreneur and how you have to be frugal. Sometimes you don't pay yourself. Sometimes you work nights. That you have to be super flexible with yourself and be patient in order to try to build what you want. It's not instant.
And I think a lot of people go into it hoping that it is instant. And that's probably why there's so many businesses that don't last beyond 1 year or 5 years, right? Because they're not seeing you have to be patient and you have to be resilient and bold. Like you were bold and take initiative and take your life into your own hands, right? So I love that. Okay. So how can people work with you? Can you take on more people?
We have an application process for collection work, for specifically like debt collection. If you're looking at consulting, then we can talk about that too. I do a lot of speaking and keynotes. I am in Moncton on May 1st at a conference speaking. And yeah, they can get in touch with me on my website, which is kcollect.com.
I meant to ask you about your book too. What is your book?
So thank you, because it's right here. So I wrote some stories about debt collection when I first got into my business and how, for lack of better terminology, how a little crazy I was to get business. So there are stories and lessons that I learned throughout my business journey, and some of them are personal stories, but here's the debt collection lesson that I learned from it. It talks about my nephew Jax a lot because he's really a character. So it's just life lessons from a debt collector. It exceeded my expectations. It became a bestseller in 2 weeks after I released it. I thought it was just for my friends and family. So I was like, I'm going to sell 5 copies. And then it went to a bestseller and I was like, who are these people buying this? So super humbling. Yeah, it was crazy.
Can you show it again? So So it's called Stories from a Debt Collector. Okay. And can they get it on Amazon?
You can get it on Amazon, on Kindle, audiobook, and paper copy. If you want it signed from me, you go to my website and it says, buy Krista's best-selling book. And then I actually put it in the mail and I sign it for you. It comes right from me. So you can get it as well.
Okay, well, I will put the links in the show notes. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you and a pleasure to meet you. So thank you for coming on the show. And to everyone else, we will see you next week.